From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, August 15th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hear yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with...
The Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says we come to love not by finding a perfect person, but by learning to see an imperfect person perfectly. Unfortunately, some people do that by looking in the mirror.
He's looking at you, kid.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happened on this day throughout history.
Big stuff.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah, like that's ever going to happen. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1915, a story in the New York World newspaper revealed that the Imperial German government had purchased excess phenol from Thomas Edison that could be used to make explosives for the war effort, but diverted it to Bayer for aspirin production. Yeah, apparently the war was giving their soldiers headaches, which is understandable. And it was on this day in 1977, the Big Ear, a radio telescope operated by Ohio State University, received a radio signal from deep space, and the event was named the Wow Signal, from the notation made by the volunteer on the project. Good thing the volunteer kept it clean. Otherwise, it might have been named the WTF Signal.
I don't think that's funny.
Man, you gotta love Lara Trump. She is proving herself to be not only competent, but almost expert in this game of politics. And if you don't know who she is, she's a powerful family daughter-in-law who took a seat at the GOP's helm this year. She's a co-chair of the GOP, but I think she's really the force behind the GOP. And she believes there's an obvious explanation for the technical glitches that plagued Monday night's online interview between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And, of course, everybody on our side believes that there's an explanation, and the explanation comes in the form of the deep state, right? Well, during a brief interview, Lara, who earlier this year was announced as co-chair of the RNC, railed at length against deep state enemies of her father-in-law, who she claimed want to maintain their free pass. She was on Hannity the other night. Here's what she had to say.
Yeah, Sean, I think it's pretty obvious at this point. There are a lot of people out there, and there's a massive effort, of course, to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. These people are terrified. This is the deep state. This is the swamp in Washington, D.C. These are the people who are our adversaries in many cases, and they know that the jig is up, the game is over when Donald J. Trump returns to the White House, and they're petrified of it. They have had a free pass for 3.5 years. The people who want to do nefarious activities to us here in America, to our allies around the world, they've gotten a free pass and a free ride, and they would like another 4 years of that with Kamala Harris at the helm. Donald Trump is the only person who can deliver this country back to we the people, the only person who can make sure that the world is stabilized once again. And there are, I assume, Sean, a lot of people out there who don't want to see that happen for really awful reasons, quite frankly. What I can tell you is that none of this deters Donald Trump. His resolve has never been stronger to become the 47th president of the United States. And I think, quite frankly, the more attacks like this you see, the more pushback against Donald Trump, and the more they go out of their way to try and stop this man, whether it's indictments, whether it's impeachments, quite frankly, whether it's a bullet, it just shows the American people this is the only person who would still be in this fight going strong. It's Donald J. Trump, and I believe that's why he'll be our next president.
So after a 40-minute delay, the interview went off as planned, and they garnered just under a billion views. Now, let's be pragmatic here. A billion views. Some of those are in the form of just checking in for a few minutes and then leaving to decide to maybe go watch TV or something. or perhaps just go to bed. But all in all, just under a billion views. So that tells me that there's more than just a little passing interest in Donald Trump's campaign for president and what he has to say. Now, through all of this, there's the other side of the coin, the Kamala Harris campaign, such as it is. She has still granted no interviews. She hasn't done any press conferences. She gave one little talk, and at that talk, she basically plagiarized something that Donald Trump had proposed 2 months prior. And this is what we're looking at for the Kamala Harris campaign. And I don't know. It's a honeymoon period right now with Kamala Harris, and it's quickly fading. It's like you're on your honeymoon and you're just so enamored by this person that you've hooked up with, but now you're starting to realize that that this person that you've committed to all of a sudden isn't the person you thought she is. And now, okay, what do I do? Well, you've got time. You got plenty of time. You know, pay attention to what Donald Trump has to say. Pay attention to what J.D. Vance has to say. Vance is going to be very, very effective in this campaign. I mean, I'm not concerned so much about what's going on right now. I'm more concerned about what goes on a month from now. And of course, there's the DNC. And, Steve Forbes was talking with Larry Kudlow the other day. I think it was on Tuesday. And it was very interesting what he had to say. He told Kudlow that anything's possible with the left right now. It's possible that after the DNC convention, Biden may just decide to step down, resign as president. Then what you have is you have a serving president. You have a sitting president in the form of Kamala Harris, who's now looking for re-election. Then, in the short time between the end of the DNC and the election, Kamala Harris, as president, could declare war against Iran. And then what? Right? Because you look at American history, we have never failed to re-elect a sitting president during a war. Those presidents have always been almost automatically re-elected. And, you know, this is what we're facing. And this is from the brain of Steve Forbes. And Forbes, who at one time ran for president, of course, he failed miserably. The man's got a good head on his shoulders. And so what Steve Forbes has to say, you might want to listen to. The UAW is at it again. They have filed federal labor charges against Donald Trump and Elon Musk, claiming the two men attempted to intimidate and threaten workers. Now, this is obviously the work of the president of the UAW, who is solidly behind the Democrats, even though the rank and file in the UAW are not. Now, the union announced that they filed the charges with the National Labor Relations Board in a press release. This was on Tuesday. The interview was on Monday. It was on a program called Spaces on X. And it's an audio-only broadcasting feature on X. And Musk and Trump spoke for roughly 2 hours, covering all kinds of topics, including the economy and energy prices. And in the conversation, while discussing their view of wasteful spending by the government, Musk told Trump that he would gladly be involved in a government efficiency commission should Trump be reelected later this year. Now, Trump then spoke about some of Musk's actions as CEO in relation to joining the hypothetical commission, but he didn't specifically mention which of Musk's companies he was referring to. And, he says, I'd love it. Well, you're the greatest cutter. I mean, I look at what you do. You walk in, you want to quit. I won't mention the name of the company, but they go on strike and you say, that's okay. You're all gone. You're all gone. Now, Musk is also the CEO of Tesla, as you know, and space flight company SpaceX. The UAW said the comments related to unions amounted to the two men advocating for the illegal firing of striking workers. Now, the UAW said in their statement, under federal law, workers cannot be fired for going on strike, and threatening to do so is illegal under the National Labor Relations Act. Now, Musk had previously faced a lawsuit filed by former employees of Twitter, now known as X, who were laid off when he bought and took over the company. But a judge ruled in Musk's favor. So, you know, is it really all that smart to go up against Elon Musk? I guess it depends on the jurisdiction where the decision is to be made. But the NLRB, again, that's the National Labor Relations Board, states on its website that under federal law, you cannot be fired for participating in a protected strike or picketing against your employer. The agency adds that there are limitations and qualifications related to the right to strike. Now, the agency states most strikes are protected, but certain kinds of strikes are not, depending on the object or purpose of the strike, on its timing, or on the conduct of the strikers. You can be lawfully fired for participating in an unprotected strike. See, that's what happened when Ronald Reagan took office back in 1981. Remember, he fired the Patco workers. That was the union. Patco was the union representing air traffic controllers. Well, the air traffic controllers went on strike. Reagan fired them, but then immediately invited them to reapply for their new jobs. They just won't be members of the union. That turned out to be a terrific move on Reagan's part. But see, UAW officially endorsed Kamala Harris, but only because the president, Sean Fain, that's Sean, S-H-A-W-N, Sean Fain, is just a big Democrat. He's in the tank for Democrats, period. Now, if you were to poll the rank and file within the UAW, you'd get an entirely different political picture. Now, I'm not defending the UAW, but you know, pretty much when you are in a union, you do as the president of the union tells you. If he says you're going on strike, you're going on strike. You know, now he can't tell you who to vote for, fortunately. But you have that official endorsement from the UAW, and you only have that official endorsement because of Sean Fain. Now, neither X nor Trump's campaign responded to any requests for comment regarding this. And I would imagine the legal teams for both Musk and Trump are saying, don't comment. It's kind of hard to imagine any Democrats who would endorse a Republican, you know, be it Donald Trump or anybody else. But in some states, that is the case. And nowhere is that more apparent than in Texas. Right here, my home state. You have some Texas Democrats having already endorsed Ted Cruz in his Senate race. Now, here's how, first of all, he's running against U.S. Representative Colin Allred. And this is how Center Square reported it. They said 3.5 years into an unprecedented border crisis impacting Texans in border communities and the state's largest cities, high-profile Democrats are openly endorsing a Republican candidate for Senate who they never endorsed before, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz. Another first for Cruz is a Democrats for Cruz coalition that includes lifelong Democrat border sheriffs and judges, law enforcement union leaders, teachers, farmers, and parents. Many lifelong Democrats in the coalition say they'll be voting Republican for the first time this November. Endorsements for Cruz have come in from law enforcement associations in the Democratic-controlled cities of Austin, Houston, McAllen, and San Antonio, and Democratic-controlled counties of Bear, Dallas, Harris, Hidalgo, and Travis, among others. They give the same reason. Allred voted against the Police Act, which makes the assault of a police officer a deportable offense, and the bill was filed by 16 House Republicans after criminal aliens were increasingly allegedly targeting, assaulting, and killing police officers. A similar bill was filed in the Senate, but went nowhere under Democrat control. Democrats at the border are also endorsing Cruz, including Zapata County Sheriff Raimundo Del Bosque, Presidio County Sheriff Danny Dominguez, Brewster County Sheriff Ronnie Dodson, Reeves County Sheriff Art Granato, Kennedy County Sheriff, Kennedy County Judge Charles Burns, and Reeves County Judge Leo Hung. Many are from the 55 counties that declared an invasion. There you go. That was from Center Square. This is not all that unusual in recent years. We've had Democrats vote for Republicans in Texas just because these Democrats are, first of all, most of them are old school Democrats. Okay. the kind of Democrats that I used to be at one time. Okay. I was a Democrat that believed in our Constitution. You know, the new school Democrats that we're having so many problems with, Kamala Harris being one of them, they're not real Democrats. They're socialists. They're just wearing a D beside their name and in their bio. But these people are definitely not real Democrats. So these Democrats here in Texas who are voting to reelect Ted Cruz, they are old school Democrats. And in the past, in the recent past, some, not many, but some of these old school Democrats have already defected to the GOP. But they're you know, you get down there into that part of the state of Texas, close to the border, those are an entirely different kind of Democrat down there, okay? And they're not the new school Democrats, thank God. I'm not saying they're Harry Truman kind of Democrats either. But, you know, it's not unusual, and it's certainly entirely possible that Ted Cruz, between now and the election, might pick up a few more of these Democrats in that part of Texas. There was a time where what I'm about to display here for you would have shocked you, but now, you know, not so much. I mean, if I were just to say that, once again, CNN misrepresented facts, facts having to do with Elon Musk and Donald Trump, you wouldn't be at all surprised, would you? Okay, well, that conversation for Monday night on X drew a massive audience, as I mentioned earlier, just under a billion people, and it sparked a broader discussion of the many topics that these two men discussed. Important stuff. And unfortunately, Let me say this tactfully. Some mainstream media outlets seem determined to take quotes out of context in order to paint both Trump and Musk in a negative light. Remember, at one time, Musk was a darling of the Democrats because he was building electric cars. You know, these were cars that were not going to harm the climate, which, of course, we've come to learn in the years since that, yeah, they do harm the climate. Just to build them pollutes the air and the landscape. But, you know, we can't talk about that. You'll be censored. So anyhow, now Musk is no longer the darling of the left. And, of course, we all know where Donald Trump stands with the left. But Dana Bash was busy at work on CNN, where she displayed a deceptively edited clip from the interview. I'm going to go ahead and play her presentation of this clip first.
I want to play one exchange that was kind of classic. Well, there were a lot of exchanges that were classic Donald Trump, but this one really stuck out to us.
And Nagasaki were bombed, but now they're like full cities again. So
right,
it's really
right,
not
that's
something
right.
that, you know.
That's right.
So it's not as scary as people think, basically.
So that was more Elon Musk than Donald Trump talking about, sort of suggesting that what happened almost 80 years ago, I think 80 years ago next year, the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, now it's okay, kind of trying to blow off the impact of that.
But what really happened was Trump started talking about what he believed the greatest threat to the U.S. and the rest of the world was, and that is not climate change, but the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Now, here's that same spot in the interview from which Dana Bash and her producers, of course, she couldn't do this without her producers, But this is that same segment of the interview that they took the clip from. Listen to it in its entirety.
Yeah, and actually, there's the bad side of nuclear, which is a nuclear war, very bad side. But there's also, I think, nuclear electricity
Absolutely.
Generation is underrated.
You're right.
And it's actually, you know, people have this fear of nuclear nuclear electricity generation, but it's actually one of the safest forms of electricity generation. It's just a huge misunderstanding. If you look at the injuries and deaths, you know, caused by, say, I mean, I'm not trying to pick on coal mining, but just any kind of mining operation.
Right.
There's a certain number of injuries and deaths per year. And you compare that to nuclear. Nuclear is actually way better. So it's underrated as an electricity source. And I think it's something that's worth reconsidering. But there's so much regulation that people can't get it done. So that, you know,
maybe they'll have to change the name. The name is just, it's a rough name. There are some areas like when you see what happened in
the bad branding.
We'll have to rebrand it. We'll have to give it a good name. We'll name it after you or something. You know, it has a branding problem. You know, when you see what happened,
it does have a branding problem.
When you see what happened in Japan, where they say you won't be able to go on the land for about 3,000 years. Did you ever see that? And in Russia, where they had the problem, where they, you know, there's a lot of bad things happened, and they have a problem. And they say that in 2,000 years, people will start to occupy the land again. You know, you realize it's pretty bad.
No, but that's not true.
But it's amazing.
It's actually not that bad. So like, after Fukushima happened in Japan, like, people were asking me in California, you know, are we worried about, like, a nuclear cloud coming from Japan? I'm like, no, that's crazy. It's not even dangerous in Fukushima. I actually flew there and ate locally grown vegetables on TV to prove it, and I donated a solar water treatment, a solar powered system for a water treatment plant, and
but you haven't been feeling so well lately, and I'm worried about it.
No, but I mean,
I'm only kidding.
It's fine, you know. It's like Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed, but now they're like full cities again. So
right.
it's really not something that. You know,
that's right.
So it's not as scary as people think, basically. But.
Yeah.
You probably remember Michael Schellenberger. He was the one who was testifying alongside Matt Taibbi about maybe 2 years ago about how the Biden administration was pressuring Twitter. It was Twitter back then to scrub content from conservatives. And this is all in the wake of the exposition of the Twitter files. And Schellenberger and Taibbi did a terrific job as journalists because they were both left-leaning people. And now I think they're more centrist. But Schellenberger tweeted this out after the CNN Dana Bash episode. He said, "This is terrible. It was obvious that Elon Musk was talking about how radiation declines over time. Some of the best research comes from Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Are you going to correct your misinformation and apologize, Dana Bash at CNN?" So the heat is definitely on CNN. I mean, CNN's ratings stink. And the thing that just, and I've mentioned this before, pardon my redundancy, but every time they sweep out a CEO at CNN, the new one comes in and says, "We're going to do things a little differently here. We're going to do things differently." And you would assume that they would start taking on a more balanced bias, a more balanced stance in their reporting, but they don't. They don't change a damn thing. They fire a couple of anchors, but they don't change their editorial policy. And until they do, CNN is always going to be in the basement, and it's because of crap like this. The more we delve into this personality known as Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, the more the personality of a nutcase seems to emerge. I mean, he's a complete nutcase. And that's the conclusion in a report on Walz's actions during COVID by the Gateway Pundit. I love the Gateway Pundit, good conservative publication on the internet. And the conclusion was supported by a video. I saw this video showing National Guard troops under Walz's orders in Minnesota during COVID, ordering people to get off their porches and back inside their homes. Now, the way they coerced people to get off their porches and inside their homes is they shot paintballs at them. Now, labeling Walls a tyrant, a description that echoed others' opinions about Walls, the report charged this guy's not only stolen valor, he's a complete nutcase. And it noted, again, this is Gateway Pundit, in the video, you can see police officers walking the streets of Minneapolis on May 30th, 2020, screaming at residents and shooting paintballs at anyone who's sitting on their porch. And then the Gateway Pundit explained Walls deployed 11,000 National Guard members to the city, with reporting from the Independent at the time noting that it was how Walls was enforcing the curfew. Now, the video appears to show the Minnesota National Guard and state police ordering the residents of one street to go inside before they turn their weapons on a group of residents. And then, and this was amazing, the footage actually captures people rushing inside their property after shots are fired and shows where one member of the public has actually been hit by a paintball. So, here again, we're dealing with a nutcase, two nutcases now. A nutcase, you know, the hyena, cackling Kamala, and then her running mate, Tim Walls, a tyrant, a crazy man, a man who's lied about his military service. And you ever noticed, I don't know if you've seen much video on this guy, but the guy's a complete lunatic. He comes out on stage, both arms waving in the air, waving at crowds. I mean, just like it's as though he's the one running for president. And, you know, I would like to smear this guy, but I don't have to. He does it himself. I mean, here again with my apologies to the late Walt Kelly. We have met the enemy and he is us. And in this case, that's the Democrats. They have met the enemy. They are them. And there's just going to be a whole lot more of this stuff. And meanwhile, they over there on the left are busy trying to smear Donald Trump and Elon Musk. Wow. I told you a long time ago this was going to be an exciting election. All right, that's enough. Let's go to the Comedy Corner and the very funny Troy Deo.
I will tell you this. Just recently, my wife and I became parents for the first time in our lives, which is... thank you. It's very exciting. When it's your first kid, you learn a lot. One of the things I learned is whoever invented the phrase, slept like a baby, they didn't have a baby. I don't think they'd ever even seen a baby. I think that phrase should be slept like an adult that doesn't have a baby. Because those were some good sleeping years. Everyone has their advice on how to get through those early sleep deprivation months. And the advice is always the same. Sleep when the baby sleeps. You just sleep when the baby sleeps. Oh, thank you. I hadn't considered that before. Here's what I'll do. I'll sleep when the baby sleeps. Then I'll do the dishes when the baby does the dishes. And when he notices the bills are piling up, me and the baby, we do some bills together. Because that's how babies work. They love knocking chores off the to-do list. Next. They say that being a new parent starts to age you much faster than normal. I feel like I've started to notice it when I look in the mirror, but I don't think other people notice yet. I'm 22 years old. I look good for 22, right? Most of my comedian friends do not have kids, and I've realized it's very difficult to explain to someone what it's like to be tired for several months in a row. It's a very specific feeling. The best analogy I've come up with is I was watching this documentary once about the Navy SEALs. And at the end of their training, they go through this thing called Hell Week, where they're woken up at all hours of the night. They're wet for some reason. They don't know why. Someone's screaming at them to do something. And if they mess it up, the screaming gets louder and louder until they get it right. And if you've ever had a new baby, you know, That's pretty close. Except it's only a week. Boo-hoo, Navy SEALs.
Make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.